free the real, keep the rest. Your life like mine is real. Write a check, tag, can't cash, sign and seal. Jury like them big rappers, but ain't signed a deal. 24/7 on my grind for real. No time to chill. Probably never get the credit I deserve.
Hey, this is Morgan Jones with The Numbers, coming to you from our beautiful space at the Portland Art Museum. And I'm here today with Portland's very own Teaspoon.
What up? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm really excited to see you. It's been a long time.
We overdue.
And it's weird to see you in COVID where we can't hug each other or like be closer to each other. That's a little weird, but I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, it sucks, man, but I'm glad to be here too. Glad to see you as well.
Little drizzly day.
we in that 9 month stretch of it.
So. Right in the beginning of it.
For sure.
You know? So we're going to talk a lot about your new project today, but I want to start where you started. Let's talk about Respect Before Success.
Yeah, that was probably the first album, I guess I would say. I did 2 mixtapes before that, round 1 and round 2. But yeah, Respect Before Success was the first album I did. I think like 14 to 16 joints. Released that in, was that 2010 maybe? So yeah, that was 10 years ago. Yeah.
Ooh, that's wild.
That was, it's probably almost, yeah.
That's wild.
10 years ago.
So we've been at this longer than 10 years. I feel like I knew that, but.
Yeah.
That does like ring weird, huh? Like.
Man, that sound crazy. Or we might have been 2011, but somewhere up in there.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. So 2 mixtapes and then the album. How did we become a rapper? Like, what made you say, I'm going to write these things down?
It was just like a bunch of me and my friends, family, everybody. Like, it was just a way to express ourselves, and it was fun, and I thought I was dope. So, you know, it was the culture. That's what I grew up in. And taking it serious, though, I actually had, like, my cousin, Poob and Wills, they, you know, and my homie, they started a label, and they start dropping music seriously. My homie, Psych, was a producer, and that was a close friend of mine, and we, you know, I just stuck with them. I was always hanging around them, and they were seriously putting music out, and they would, you know, encourage me to be more serious about it, take my craft serious.
I love it. Did you get any words of advice from Psych that you could share with us?
Man, so many.
Give us a gem.
Yeah, dude was a good dude, funny, hilarious. But he just always just encouraged me to, like, be serious and keep working. And, you know, he felt like I had raw talent. He was just like, you know, there's room for improvement, room for growth, and just to stay working. And that dude used to have, like, I remember he showed me 100 songs one time, and I was like, bro, like, how you got 100
what
songs?
What do you mean?
Yeah, and so I was just like, you know, he recorded himself, made beats, he did everything. So, yeah, that dude was a huge inspiration for me to become a workaholic and try to be as hands-on as possible as I could possibly be.
So what does that mean to you in your career, being hands-on, besides being the artist?
Being hands-on means to me doing as much physically as I possibly can without the unnecessary help or help that you would have to pay someone for. Because
okay.
just like managerial things, like I upload all my own music. I don't like do cover art and stuff, but I pretty much handle all the day-to-day business for myself until it gets out of control that I can't handle it anymore. Like, you don't need a manager until you need a manager. Or you don't need, like, you know, just stuff like that. I was recording myself a little bit, but like I don't like to. It takes away from my artistry because like I get frustrated. It doesn't sound how I like it to sound because mm-hmm. it's just raw recording. But yeah, so I stopped recording myself. I just recently sold my studio, my home studio.
I feel like I wish I would have known that before you sold it, but
on the whim. I was like, man, it's been sitting here for like 2 years. I haven't really used it maybe once or twice in the last 2 years. So I was like,
I didn't even realize that you were recording yourself at any time. So that's like a nice little piece of info to know.
Yeah, the homie, I had bought a studio probably like 4 or 5 years ago. The homie Nonstop did like a vocal chain for me. So like he found my levels and I could just always record myself with the same vocal chain and it'll pretty much keep my voice balanced.
So thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it was cool, but I like to record and just, you know, be in creative mode versus technical mode.
Engineer, producer mode. I've always wondered how people do that. Like, do they just do it all separate or like try and do it all at the same time? Like,
yeah.
When I record my own content, it is hard to be like, I don't know, I will stop and restart and restart and restart because I'm never going to hear it the way that I want to, I think. And so I think there's got to be some of that.
Some people just are good at multitasking and can do that, but yeah, I'm not one of them. It takes away because like I have to say stuff a certain way. I need a certain charisma or a certain amount of energy and just getting up, running in there, recording. Now you can sit down and literally do it, but it's just not for me.
Right.
Personally.
Right. I think that's finding your strengths, especially in any creative endeavor, is, and then sticking with it.
Absolutely.
Is the way to be consistent. Because if
works.
You're consistently trying to like wear every hat,
mm-hmm.
how do you get great at the one thing you're trying to be great at, you know?
You literally have to do what works, what you're good at, and stick to it.
That's the...
No. If Shaq would have been shooting threes or, you know, Steph Curry goes in there trying to dunk every time, it's not going to work out.
Wouldn't work out.
What you're good at, man. So
just thinking about Shaq, like...
Or just a probably, that's probably a later reference, but yeah, we know Shaq.
No, I mean,
Shaq couldn't
everybody
shoot.
Everybody knows.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't go over anybody's head, I don't think.
Right.
Okay, so let's think about the evolution of those three projects that we talked about from 2010. That is so wild.
Right.
And like through this time, how have you evolved as an artist outside of what we just talked about finding your flow and knowing, you know, your exact lane in the studio?
Man.
How have you changed?
Wow. Exponentially. It's crazy because I recently just got 2 copies of the older mixtapes, and it's high-key funny to hear myself back then. Like I said, we were recording with my homie Psych, and he knew how to record, but mixing wise, he was terrible. So we were under the beat. Stuff was just not mixed well. We had really good ideas, and if they were mixed right or mixed better, I feel like they would have had way more potential. But yeah, just the content of I hadn't lived enough life at that time. Like when you know, you're rapping about, you know, you have to go through things. Me personally, I have to go through things to rap about it. So if I'm not doing nothing or going through nothing, I really don't have nothing to rap about. It'll be boring. So, I mean, I was living whatever I was doing back then, but it was just so narrow and closed-minded back then because I hadn't really left the city like that. I hadn't really had real, like, life-changing experiences to make me want to rap and be more in-depth about things that I went through because I hadn't completed or went through the journey that I've went through since then.
Man, that's so real that we, and I'm sure at that time, you probably thought, like, what else can I see? You know what, man. I mean?
I was probably thinking, like, oh, man, can't nobody tell me that I did it all, seen it all.
Exactly.
I'm that dude. And yeah, man, it was just, exactly. You don't know nothing.
It is wild to me. I've always said, like, when I was 16, I thought I knew everything. And then I turned 18 and was like, oh, you were so dumb, you know?
Right.
And then that just kept happening throughout my life. And still, to this day, I'll be like, dang, at 30, I really thought I knew it. And then look at all of these things that I've learned since then, you know, like that just shape your worldview and what's important to you and priorities and all of that. So like normally in interviews, people are like, you're a dad. Tell us how being a dad changes your artistry. And I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to ask you if truly your priorities have changed since being responsible for other people.
100%. I was reckless at one point in time. I used to just do whatever because it didn't affect anyone other than me. But totally. Like I have people that, you know, my decisions affect how their life will be shaped and where they will be. So of course, like, yeah, I mean, I have to make, you know, super wise decisions and, you know, try to help them and set them up the best I can. So yeah, it's definitely changed me for sure.
Do you speak differently around your kids than you do, say, around your friends?
I mean, certain aspects of things, but nah, I'm probably one of those parents, like, I want to be transparent with my kids, so like, you know, they know their dad, and you know, like, I'm comfortable with myself, but like, I don't, you know, granted, I don't want them to be like doing the things I was doing, right. So but you know, I just try to be as honest with them, and you know, I mean, there's things that I speak with my friends. We're all adults, so you know, like, I can't have certain conversations with them, but
right. But well, I guess what I mean really is like, and you answered the question I was asking that I clearly didn't do it articulately. But like,
that's all good.
The reason I asked that is I think that, you know, media usually the question is like I said, how have you changed since having children? And I think it's more important to know that you are consistently you with your children and outside of being with them.
For sure.
And I think that personally, I think that that means you are having a transparent relationship with your children, and that changes the way that any of the bad things that we, you know, quote, air quotes, bad things that we've done in our past and younger and all of those reckless moments that we have,
mm-hmm.
if we don't act like they're, you know, mysteries,
right,
and we actually talk to them about it, it isn't so bad,
right?
And then we get to let go of, like, I was bad.
Yeah.
Because that's not the case, right?
Yeah, that's not what I'm doing currently.
Right.
It's not who I am currently, but yeah, man. I know people, like, who grow up and then your parent, like, you have some idea and then you grow up and you're like, damn, that ain't who you, so you've been faking to me this whole time.
Exactly.
So I don't want that. Like, exactly. I don't want my kids to grow up like, damn, my dad was,
I never knew him,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
Lived in the same house, never knew him.
Right.
Yeah, that's a scary thing for me as a parent. I never want that to be the case, that they're like, I never knew who you were. That would terrify me. But I know that it's harder when you're in the spotlight, when you're an entertainer, when your songs are going to have, you know, things about women. They're going to have things about activities.
For sure.
And that kind of stuff, I know that you can explain. You know what I mean? And when they're old enough, I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I mean, and just to even elaborate further on that, sometimes, like, their songs of mine, I'd be like, yeah, nah, you're not listening to that. I mean, just being a parent, I'm like, I don't let them listen to a lot of, you know, stuff that's inappropriate for them. Now, when you're old enough and that's what you choose to listen to, I'll do what you do. But, yeah, if it's me or not, you're just not going to be listening to inappropriate music.
I love it. I haven't been having the conversation, but I've been watching the conversation based off of Cardi did WAP, and then everybody lost their mind about how dare you do a song like that.
Right.
And then recently she said something like she wouldn't let her daughter listen to it, which is like obvious. Her child is
clearly
like a year old or something. To me, it's like silly that anybody's asking that like,
I mean, you're,
well, would you let your kids listen to, would you? I mean, like,
I didn't make this for a kid.
Right. I'm not marketing my music to children.
Exactly.
And it's wild to me that was being like led as some sort of hypocrisy from her. And I'm like, do you think that every entertainer is like shoving their
music,
content, their music, their videos, their movies into their children's faces? Like, do you take your work home like that? I don't tell my kids anything about the reports I put together. You know what I'm saying? Like, we put weird expectations on entertainers, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, for sure.
What does that feel like? Like, you've been doing this for so long, maybe it's a hard question to answer, but like, do you feel that pressure from other people about your content or about what you do?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, I'm getting older and I have a relationship. So, I mean, it can put certain strains on a relationship because at the end of the day, it is entertainment and some people don't take it as that. So, you know, it's a lot of explaining and it has a lot of, like I said, it hasn't always been easy, but, you know, that's just, it's a passion of mine, and that's what I've been doing, and just trying to make it, do it the correct way so it doesn't affect my home life or my children or my relationship or nothing like that.
Amazing. Speaking of affecting your home life, and normally you would get to tour to put out a new album, to you know, support that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And we're obviously living in a world where we don't do live entertainment in person right now. How are you going to navigate? What are we doing?
Just testing different waters with, I just recently had a couple of my homies put me up on Bandcamp, which is like a direct, artist to consumer site. They basically have their own community where you can like sell your album versus people streaming it, which is super helpful. If you have vinyls, you can distribute them on there. You can sell them merch. It's kind of a one-stop shop, and just stuff like that, opportunities like that, I feel like are detrimental right now, being that you can't get on the road or you can't really. I mean, you could do a. I mean, also I'm working on like some pop-ups and stuff with the merch. Merch is always a huge, huge factor. I mean, that's how a lot of artists are staying afloat. Yeah, man, because if you are an independent artist and you don't have, like, the notoriety of a big artist, you're not just making money like that. And people need to quit getting that confused. Like, oh, these rappers just got all this money. Like, streaming is, like, dude, you don't get that much. You don't get
so
that
let's,
much money.
Let's stick with that. Because I think that people don't understand. I think that they assume if you're on a streaming platform, that means you're getting a decent amount of money every time a song is played.
You need to be getting streamed like millions of times because a stream is like less than a penny.
To the artist.
Yeah, I think like it's like 1,500 streams to maybe equal like a sale of a song or something. It's crazy.
Wow.
And they have different ones with all these different digital platforms, which is why I said you could set a price for your album or your song could be $1 and you could actually get USD for a song. You know, you could get money for your album, you know, and people like me, like I put a lot of money into my projects. I actually get my projects mixed and mastered, which costs. I get features from people that, you know, are industry artists that, you know, have
that costs
deals.
Money.
It costs money.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, you want to
have a rate.
You want to see something back to at least continue to give people products. You want to, I still want to be able to, dump, when I get my money, I put it right back into it. I go buy some merch. I'm working on some vinyls, get more features, buy studio time, just, you know, so to at least keep my career going.
It's a small business is what it sounds like to me. As
Definitely.
Soon as you get anything, you pay yourself back. By that, I mean your investment.
Yeah, for sure.
Before you move forward to any sort of profit.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to hammer home that point of direct to the consumer from the artist mm-hmm. is going to help the artist and support the artist more than streaming them on Spotify or any other streaming platform. And we get real wrapped up in the convenience of things mm-hmm. as consumers. And it's real easy if you just do all your things on one platform, you know?
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, maybe Justin Timberlake doesn't need you to buy his album on Bandcamp, but like
yeah,
the people
he got...
that are independent and are not, don't have a humongous machine behind you.
Right. Right.
Find the ways to support the artist the most you possibly can. And that used to be touring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you would make your money the most on touring and merch. And if you can't do that right now, like you said, stepping up your merch game and then figuring out other pop-ups and things like that. But
yeah, they
people got to show up and know how to support you.
For sure.
So take that away, audience, that buy the album from Bandcamp. Don't stream it if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to release it on the 8th on all platforms. But, you know, the people, I dropped it early for the people who really wanted to support and actually, you know, people have been waiting for it. I haven't dropped for like a year. So I haven't been away from rap for that long because I usually drop every month. I got a single or video or something.
Right.
So yeah, a full year of just nothing for me. I was overdue to drop.
So you're saying right now people can go and get it on Bandcamp and then Friday it gets released
everywhere. Apple Music, all that good old jazz, Spotify.
Yeah, so everybody listening right now, just go to Bandcamp and get that song.
Go get it early, yes. Yes, I would appreciate it.
So let's talk about that project. You've been gone for a year. You've been presumably working on this.
Yeah, we've been cooking. I mean, it's crazy because some of these songs with my friends, like, you know, I send people skeleton ideas like, oh, bro, what you think about this? And people are like, dang, bro, that song still ain't out? And I'll be like, yeah, because I'll be so far ahead of myself. I always try to be at least one project out. So even now, this project, I'm halfway done with another one. So, you know, just you have to be like that, like, especially in, like, right now, there's so everybody raps. Everybody raps. The 2021, we don't really need any more rappers. We need some.
I was going to say, so how do we feel about that?
We don't need no more rappers, but yeah. Yeah, man, just try to stay ahead of myself so I'm always ready with some music because you just, that, or else people don't, you know, they forget about you unless you have a serious fan base, which, you know, I have a cool one, but it could always be better.
What's better? Is better bigger or
I need people that
louder?
Are interactive, man. Like, I got people that follow me on Instagram and stuff like that that just watch.
Yeah.
What are you here for, man? I would rather have less engaged people than more unengaged people just are there to look and watch and not support and do stuff.
I think that people have a weird confusion with social media, like fans, I mean. Mm-hmm. Like there's this, like, either you're the person that's commenting on every celebrity's page mm-hmm. or you're, like, not commenting on anything.
On anything, just mute.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I watch it, like, some of my friends, I see them on celebrity things and they never say anything to me on mine, you know? Like, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know why you're talking to Chrissy Teigen today. But
not getting a response.
But I think, yeah, you're definitely not going to get a response. But I think that there are a ton of celebrities and people in music that we don't think we have access to. So it may just be that people are like, he would never respond to me. And are just missing that you would and you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I feel like
people are quiet, probably one of the.
It's a part of it. And I've noticed it. And I think it's interesting that people make assumptions about other folks instead of just doing what they want to do.
Right. I agree.
You're a lot more talkative than I think people would expect.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true?
Depending on who you are and what we're talking about, I tend to watch people first and then get to know them, and then after they get to know me, they be like, "All right, I'm gone. This dude talk too much. Shut the F up."
One of my favorite things about like being around you in a room or something is like your smile is infectious, and you smile so much more
than I think people would ever think.
A rapper smiles, and like, you know what I mean? Like, you are goofy and
funny. You gotta be comfortable in your own skin, bro. Like, everybody extra hard now. And I paid $5,800 to get my braces and my teeth straight. So, yeah, I'm going to show them off. You feel me? I'm not going to be keeping my teeth in captivity. Yeah.
Man, let's talk about that real quick, because I feel like everybody is hard now. And not that we haven't lived through many of those eras, but.
Right, right.
But, like, hard to a different degree right now.
Yeah, it's a little extreme.
It's a little extreme, right?
Yeah.
What's the turn? I mean, I feel like you're far more connected with the youths than I am. Like, what's happening?
I don't know. The internet, I guess. It's easy to, like, say anything about a person from a million miles away via keyboard than when you used to have to go outside and be the person that you are typing and saying that you are. So, you know, when you'll mind your mouth when you... You know, there's repercussions for things you say or do. But now you could just type, and no one will ever see you. You probably have a fake page, and that's just what people do.
Man, that's wild. Like, I can't imagine investing the energy in pretending so long.
And
making a
fake page and
upholding
that page. And
like,
yeah,
there
man.
Are people right now that are doing that for no other reason than just to have a fake page, right? Or a second page or whatever. And I'm always like, I don't even have time to keep up with the...
Well, my regular...
And I don't have half of the engagement that a lot of people do, you know? And yeah. It's like, how do you have time to like switch back and forth between all these things and personas? Like, well, and what does it do for you?
They have way too much idle time, nothing going on in their life. So they, you know, that's what they do. Sad, right?
Scary. Yeah, sad's a way to put it, but
sad.
It's,
you got to look at those people, man. That's sad. It's borderline depression,
man, for real. So it really is. It's actually really depressing. So going back to the new project, it's In Me Not On Me.
In Me Not On Me. Yes.
We talked really quickly about the build up to it, and you've been cooking. Talk to me about first. The album art.
So I went to my grandma's and she got like, she was moving and she had like this pillowcase full of pictures. And I was like, man, what's in here? And it was just like, I seen a few old pictures of my dad. And I was like, man, this is dope. Like, it just, like, to me, it represented my dad, like, in his heyday. Like, him in front of a red Cadillac, you know, he had his little rings on and whatnot.
Ooh.
It was a spicy little pick, a big tone. So I was like, yeah, I got to use this. Put some art and some, you know, some words on this. And just, like, the way the picture looked, it looked like an older picture. So, you know, that's kind of like the album styles. Like, a few artists are doing that. So I was like, yeah, I got to run with this.
It's for real, like, it speaks to me. It's probably because I know your dad. But yeah, I love this album cover. Like,
it's nostalgic.
It really is. And it's so perfect for the title. I mean, it gives us the story, which is my next question. I am the queen of segues.
Yeah.
So it's In You, Not On You. I think I understand exactly what that means. But give the audience an idea of how you got there, especially with who your dad is to you and the rest of the community.
Yeah, so my dad is like a pretty known dude. And just basically like it's in me, not on me. To me, it's things that you're born with or instilled with that, you know, you just can't, it just, you can't brush up on it and it's going to be on you and you become that. Now, this is, you know, it's from lineage of your family and, you know, just the people around you, things you learn and taught, morals, principles, to even just, like I said, being a cool dude and just, you know, being respectful and just all that type of things. To me, that's what it is for me.
Do you feel like this album, and as you were working on it, like, did you, sorry, I'm going to ask that question again, because what I really mean is, did you have the idea for the title and the artwork and any of that before, or in the writing process, were you like, okay, now I see where I'm going with all of this?
Yeah, I suck at making titles, so it's like that's always a process, but I knew when I seen that picture, I was like, yeah, this gotta be the next one. And a lot of my songs, with this album, I tried to get a little more in depth and not just be rapping, like, you know, maybe when you listen to this album, you could take away, like, who I am a little more. Like, I feel like people always are like, you know, open up more, like, do you know, like, we want to know more about you, you know. It's just certain stuff I don't really speak on, like, just, you know, like, it's just, you got a personal life, you know. Some artists are great at that, some artists are super vulnerable, and so I just was like, maybe I should work on that this time, being more vulnerable and speaking about personal things. And yeah, I just tapped into that a little more. So with that being the theme or vibe of this album, I was just like, and this picture of my dad, I was like, yeah, maybe. That's an old saying, it's in me, not on me. So I was like, yeah, maybe that's, I can run with that.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Like, if nobody heard that phrase before, I think that they would get it immediately. But I know I'm wrong about that, because people still don't understand what get it out the mud means. So
so
I'm probably
hopefully
wrong.
they'll listen to this and they'll get it. But they'll, yeah, man, I feel like it's a pretty common, at least West Coast saying. So
yeah, it's, I mean, same, I think the same thing. I don't know, it's funny to me how different like slang hits people and phrases. Some people just go too hard or too literal and just can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't get it together. So do you have any favorite songs this album? Because the past have told me you don't really do favorite songs.
This time around, I would say, yeah, because I was experimenting a lot. I was doing a lot of melodies on this joint, kind of more so than I have before. I work with some artists who I've been listening to that I really think are dope, and then, like, I got a dope record with them. I would say the outro, though, Bless, is me by myself, and I was, like, rapping, and because, like, yeah, when I first started rapping, it's like, you had to be dope. You had to, like, have bars, and
you gotta bar up,
you had to have patterns, flow delivery, all that type of stuff. So people kind of are coming back around to that, so like it feels good to like be able to, like, because I know I could rap like that and it'd be appreciated. So I would say my outro is probably one of my favorites, and you know, I kind of got in depth about some situations on there, so that was tight. That's probably one of my favorite ones. Before the Money, me and Bino Rodeau, that joint is real, real, real hard. Beat is crazy, melody is crazy. Yeah, I'd be impressing myself sometimes when I when I be singing. I was like, hey, I didn't know I had that in me, but yeah, it came out dope.
So how did we get to Spoonie Love though? Like you just said, I didn't know I had that in me, but at some point you were singing in front of a mic. Like happened?
I did a couple hooks like that back in the day. Like I would play around with stuff, but it wasn't like acceptable like that when I was doing it. Now it's like, you know,
everybody want to sing. Yeah, the Drake said
the
world.
Drake opened the floodgate. So you feel me? Everybody think they can sing, and you know, it's an area. I feel like if you are an artist, you know, everybody got their own thing. But if you can do it well, then I would advise it.
Yeah. Okay. Give me a couple of the independent artists that you're listening to right now.
Independent artists.
By that I mean not the Drakes, you know, like pop artists, but like.
I'm listening to R.I.P. Briss. I listen to Briss a lot. I listen to Blast. Is super dope. I got a beat from him on this album. I really like Blast a lot. I listen to Blue Bucks Clan. I listen to a lot of LA artists kind of right now.
Okay. You also, those are people that you have collaborated with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's super dope.
Yeah, man, it's some other people, man. Who am I listening to right now, though, in my car? The typical people. I listen to Larry June still.
Keep going, Larry.
Good job. what is this dude's name, man? Foreign KT. Foreign KT is somebody I'm listening to. He hard. PZ from Detroit, still one of my top artists I like to listen to. He got a cool little vibe. Yeah, it's a lot of people, man. I be listening to all kind of stuff.
I love this. I like to ask the question to see the difference. So those are the non-machine behind them artists. Who are you listening to that has the machine?
I just said Mino. I did a song with him. I like Mino a lot. He's cold to me. I don't really listen to a lot of people with machines behind them. Aside from, like, the people who I do listen to haven't really put nothing out. Like, I like J. Cole a lot. I like, I like Thug. I like Young Thug. Lil Baby. I like Lil Baby. I do like Lil Baby. He hard. I kind of, over since the pandemic, I got, like, and shout out to homie Jalen. It's crazy. I went to Atlanta when he was living there. And this is like, man, what was that? Probably like 2016 or 17. He introduced, maybe 17. It couldn't have been that, 16. But maybe it was like 2017. He was like, man, we went to like a couple clubs and Lil Baby was popping out there back then. And then when I got back home, when I was listening to it, then nobody was on Lil Baby like that.
No clue over here.
Then he just came and he blew up. But yeah, I've been back on Lil Baby. He hard to me. Yeah, but I don't really listen to too many mainstream artists like that.
Okay, so then I'm going to ask you the question about Portland.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it.
Who are you listening to from Portland?
From Portland, it's a lot of dope people that I listen to from here. I like Mike Capes. I like Dre Steves. I like the young homie Fredo, HS Dro. They got a little group called Frontline, the homie Mills. They dope. And they put out a
Frontline is a hard name.
Yeah, Frontline with a three. They put out a lot of music, too. Dro just dropped yesterday or today. I think last night, actually. They hard. My homie Milk is like, he probably one of the best rappers, like bar for bar. Like, I like to listen to that because it inspired me. Milk is real dope. People be sleep on, bro. He the one who inspired me to get on Bandcamp. Him and my other homie, Hanif, another dope artist. Yeah, man. And then my usual, like, my homie Trey, but he be, you know, he be playing. He's probably one of the best rappers out of Portland, but he don't even rap like that. But I always listen to Trey. He hard. Man, and it's literally so many people that actually are talented. I do like Aminé's new album. He hard. Man, I just feel like I'm forgetting people.
I get it. It's hard. It's the kind of thing that I should have sent you that, you know.
Yeah, but
I'm going to ask you this question.
Not to slight nobody, because like I said, there's a bunch of people working. And, oh, man, I'm working on the album with the homie DeRoyal. He hard, bro. Real, real hard. I try to. My nephew, oh, man, he's dope. Almighty Cole. It's literally like, it's a bunch of people. But I try to reach out and get these people on my projects and work with them. So, like, yeah, my nephew Cole, Almighty Cole, he on my album. Fredo on my album. DeRoyal on my album. All young up-and-coming artists from Portland that I be trying to shed some spotlight on.
You have kind of consistently done that throughout your career, and it's something that I really find dope because Portland, like, I don't know of any, like, major beefs or anything between, you know, artists here, but it also doesn't seem like a ton of support. It feels like,
oh yeah, it's,
you know,
it's
siloed a little bit where it's like you got this group of rappers, you got this kind of rapper, you got this, you know what I mean? And it's like those groups are cool.
Yeah, it's street stuff that goes on for surely that that stops artists from working. It may not even necessarily be the artist. It might be like, oh, you from wherever, there, whoop-de-wop over there,
right?
You from this, and you know, you can't, they can't even collaborate because, you know, people around them and what, you know, it's sad because it's so small to be divided here. And, you know, it's literally at least one person that's real dope from each little portion or
right
place that, you know, everybody out here tripping about. So it, but with that being said, if it's very small, so it's just, there's no room for that division, but, you know, that's what's going on. So I try to do the best I can to reach out and work with the artist that's willing to work and, you know.
Is that how you stay out of any of that, like, weird political stuff? Like,
I mean, there's people who don't, you know, that won't work with me or that have issues with me for whatever reason. But I just, you know, I just don't address that type of stuff. That's not what I'm doing music for, and that's not what I'm trying to promote. So I just don't even speak on it or bring it up in music like that. You know, leave
So I'm not going to get a diss track, is what
you're
telling
me. Nah, I don't be dissing people. Nah, leave street stuff in the street, man.
I'm not going to get any beefs.
Leave street stuff in the street. This is the industry. This is, you can't, it doesn't work. If you don't look at what's going on globally with rappers, and, you know, it doesn't work.
I feel like you've always known that. How did you know that? It's like, you know what I mean? Like, common sense isn't common to everybody else.
I was just going to say, I mean, this, yeah, lack of common knowledge. Like, people just, because it's good for the moment. You know what I mean? It's exciting when you hear somebody talking crazy about somebody, but then whatever come along with that, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And it affecting other people. It don't just affect those two artists. He got a camp, and now one person saying something, it turns into something crazy. So
I'm happy to have seen you not be caught up in anything, but I am sad I'm not gonna get any Portland beef tracks out of you. You know, not that I have anyone that I want you to beef with.
I could, you know, Dana. I don't think people want to rap against me like that. Nah. Because it'd be bad if I did rap like that. I'm from that era of rap, like the
blog rap.
I'm funny, and like, what you gonna say about me? You can't really say nothing.
I got a bag and I fixed my teeth. Yeah, what do you want?
You can't really say nothing bad about me, but it'd be like, you know. But yeah, I ain't trying to go there with nobody, man. I feel like I'm dope enough to put out the material and people could rock with it versus me being known for something else. Being known for like talking about somebody.
But man,
if you come for me now, you know, that's different. But
different story.
Yeah, I don't be out here. And that most people, like, I don't even be thinking about people. But yeah, nobody disses me.
So I just, you know, we're going to wrap up soon. But I want to know when you're going to bring back the Fail Bear merch, because I missed out. And do I have action?
Like, yes, yes, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. So, yeah, I hope you listen to this. My homie from Cali who did my merch, you know, Black owned. I support him. He was super cool. He got real busy. We were supposed to have these hoodies, but the Fail Bear hoodies in around Thanksgiving, but Black Friday came, he got swamped with some orders, and he just now freed up, got some free time to work on my merch, get my tees. I got the Teaspoon Sonic Supersonics, Seattle Supersonics colorway tees coming. Woo-hoo. And I will have two, a tan and what is it, jade green, it's like jade forest kind of green, Fail Bear hoodie. So yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, I need that.
You didn't miss that. We bringing it back.
That's like maybe the best news of the day for me,
man,
because I was really sad when I didn't get a Fail Bear shirt.
I still got tees.
If everybody could see my face.
I still got tees. I would have brought you one, but I got you. Say less. Say less.
Yes, finally.
You know what I'm saying?
Working out in my favor.
And they actually, man, that's what's crazy. Like, my sites, I get love, man. People, like, show love. I try to make quality merch. I don't try to, like, charge people crazy. I try to make it fair. And like I said, I want people to get wares out of my stuff. You know, a lot of these, you get, like, one wear out of something, man, and be over with.
Wash it, and it's a wrap.
At least if you watch this, it's going to have that fade, like, you know, the new, the old rapper tour merch.
That's what I'm here for.
Rock merch. So, yeah,
give me that soft shirt with yes. That's exactly what I want. So, as we wrap up, is there anything you want to say? What's your call to action, as they say?
My call to action right now, man, I just want everybody to stay safe, man. With all this, you know, negativity, stay safe. Go get my album. Do work. And, man, just tell a friend to tell a friend about It's In Me, Not On Me, because it should be album of the year. And just, you know, promote me to the right people and stand behind your local artists like you stand behind all these other people from everywhere else who just come and take and take and take and don't give back. You know what I'm saying? We, at least with me, you know, you're gonna get, you know, whatever type of charity that I can afford to give back, I'm gonna do that, because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm from here. I take pride in that, and I just wish more artists, or not artists, but fans. I don't even like saying fans. Supporters took more pride in their artists and in their own city and treat them how you treat these other people, because that's. When we go to the Bay or we go to L.A., they treat us as outcasts, like we're not from there. Stand behind your own city. Be proud to represent that, so then they'll take us serious. Yeah, that part.
Perfect note to end on. Thank you so much for coming today. I'll be excited to hear all the things you come up with.
Yeah, a whole lot of good music. A whole lot of good music, man. And thank y'all for having me. I definitely appreciate it. If you're not listening to the numbers, something's wrong with you.
Hey. For the real, keep the rest. Seven streams of income is how you keep a tank. Gotta move smarter once you cheated death.
All them prayers for me is what keep me blessed.